You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Greenpeace Aotearoa has recently released their petition for the government to limit the amount of nitrates in drinking water to down to 1 milligram. At the moment, the legal limit of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer is 11.3 milligrams, which Greenpeace says is a major issue that has caused several illnesses and deaths. The organization has stated that water is a human right and that the government must stand up for the health of our communities. To learn more, I spoke to Steve Abel from Greenpeace about the petition and how Aotearoa got to this point. So can you please detail the kind of nitrates that we have in our drinking water and why it's an issue?
Sure. So nitrate is a naturally occurring substance, but we've seen a massive increase in the amount of nitrate in the environment because of the high use of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer in Aotearoa. Most of that fertilizer is used by the dairy industry, about 67% of it, and it goes on the ground to make the grass grow. The cows eat the grass, and most of the nitrogen they ingest from that fertilizer, from that grass, passes through them and comes out as urine. And that urine has high concentrations of nitrate that seeps down into the soil, converts to nitrate, and makes its way into groundwater and therefore into drinking water supplies, because half of the country is dependent on groundwater for its drinking water. And so the big increases in the worsening rates of nitrate contamination that we're seeing in groundwater are attributable to the high number of dairy cows we have and our very high use of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer.
What sort of health effects does this have on the people of Aotearoa?
So for a long time we've known that a thing called blue baby syndrome is attributable to nitrate in water when it's mixed with infant formula. If you're feeding it to a newborn child at 11.3 milligrams a litre of nitrate in the water. Over the last 20 years, emerging science has shown that there are also links to preterm birth at lower concentrations than that, 5 milligrams. The Californian study showed that nearly 50% increase in the risk of preterm birth if you were drinking, if a pregnant person was drinking nitrate contaminated water at 5 milligrams a litre. And this study out of Denmark in 2018 showing that at a much lower concentration, like below 1 milligram, 0.87 milligrams, chronic exposure to nitrate at that level increases the risk of colorectal bowel cancer significantly.
So you mentioned studies from California and Denmark. Does that mean that this is an international issue, or is it something that specifically affects New Zealand?
It is an international issue. Nitrate is the most pervasive water contaminant in the world, and this is yet another reason why at a global level we need to move away from our dependence on animals as our sources of food. We need to move to more plant-based diets and more plant-based production. That also has huge benefits for the overall health of ecology and rivers and so forth, because of course the nitrogen and the nitrates and all the waste that comes from livestock farming is devastating for freshwater ecology and rivers. And of course, it's a disaster for the climate. And here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, half of our total greenhouse gas emissions come from agriculture, and half of those come from the dairy industry alone.
So what laws are you hoping for the government to implement if this petition were to be successful?
So right now the government's looking at a thing called the National Environment Standards for Drinking Water, and it's really the foundation of the principle behind it is really good. It says, let's acknowledge that to protect drinking water, we need to protect the sources of drinking water, which are rivers, lakes and aquifers. We're in an interconnected ecology. The water we drink, if the rivers are sick and polluted, that drinking water is going to be sick and polluted, and it's going to make us sick. And so they're acknowledging that to protect drinking water, we need to protect the sources of it. To protect the sources of our drinking water, we need to look at a catchment-wide level on what contaminates it. And as I outlined, it's too many cows and too much synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. So the solution to stopping this contamination with nitrate is to have significantly fewer livestock and to cut synthetic nitrogen fertilizer and phase it out altogether. Now, the good news is that we can farm profitably and sustainably without synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, and there are farmers doing that already. Regenerative organic farmers have for many years been farming without any synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. lower stocking rates, with more diverse pastures and more complex ecosystem styles of food production that are not polluting our rivers, not contaminating our drinking water, and also polluting the climate significantly less.
If more climate-friendly fertilisers are available, then why aren't more farmers using them in a more widespread fashion?
Because there's a lot of pressure on farmers to produce large volumes of dairy milk, for example. Big pressure from the processors like Fonterra, and big pressures from the banks. All of these factors add up to a sort of a treadmill of dependency that farmers have on fertiliser, and it's difficult for them to get off that treadmill because they've got these massive debt levels. So it is a big problem, and this is exactly why you need a regulatory intervention.
Is it economically viable for farmers to be able to switch to more sustainable nitrate?
Absolutely. So to give you a bit of a potted history, up until the 1980s, all of our nitrogen fixing, because plants do need nitrogen to grow, was done through nitrogen fixing plants like white clover was the primary use of it, primary way that we fix nitrogen in the soil to grow grass and pasture. And then in 1982, the Robert Muldoon government built the Kapuni fertiliser factory to make urea in Taranaki to use a whole lot of excess gas, because of course synthetic nitrogen fertiliser urea is made using natural gas, so it's also a climate polluter when they even manufacture the stuff, and it emits nitrous oxide, which is a 300 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And they started pushing this synthetic fertilizer on farmers, saying, hey, it'll make the grass grow faster, you can have more cows. And so we went, in a very short space of time, we had this massive, you know, near 700-fold increase in the use of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer between 1990 and 2019. And so we used to farm without it. Virtually no one farmed using synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, and now we're highly dependent on it, and it happened in a very short space of time. And there are farmers right now who are farming without it at all, and they've been doing it for many years, and they can do so profitably. The organic sector doesn't use any synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. They use other means of getting nitrogen into the soil, nitrogen fixing plants and natural manures, and regenerative farmers of cutting out synthetic nitrogen fertilizer also. So absolutely, you can farm profitably without it. And in fact, PAMU, which is the old Land Corp, have converted some of their farms, their dairy farms in the Waikato, to organic, and they've found they're more profitable with fewer animals. And by cutting out all those inputs that are costly, like the fertilizer costs farmers a lot of money, and getting a higher return on the product because it's organic, they're more profitable, those farms, without the synthetic fertiliser.
So where can people go to support your cause?
Well, you can go to the Greenpeace website. There's a petition there calling for them to lower the legal limit of nitrate in water down to 1 milligram or under 1 milligram. It's currently 11.3, which is, Professor Michael Baker says, is a hopelessly out-of-date figure.
That was Steve Abel from Greenpeace chatting about the levels of nitrate in our drinking water.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.